You're watching a movie with Silas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Today, I am reviewing the new film, A Quiet Place, Day One. The Quiet Place, this is the third film of, I don't know if it's a trilogy. It is a prequel to the first two films. So, it's not quite related. It is related, but not quite. They're interwoven. Quiet Place Day One, while the other two films do touch on Day One, this film is primarily about the first couple days of the story of the alien invasion. If you haven't seen the original two, do you have to? No, you can probably see this one on its own. A different experience for sure. I would love to talk to somebody that maybe didn't see the first ones and just sees this one and see if it was as exciting for them as it was for me. But let me break it down for you. Quiet Place Day One. It's rated PG-13. It's a horror sci-fi film. 1 hour, 36 minutes. Screenplay by Michael Somofsky, based on a story conceived by John Krasinski. Directed by Michael Cernowski. So the cast for this one, Lupita Nyong'o. I'm horrible with names. Well, that's a running thing here. Okay. Joseph Quinn, Alex Wolff, and with Jimon Hansu from reprising his role from A Quiet Place Part 2. Now, that one, I wouldn't even tell you if you didn't see him probably in the first 15 minutes. This is not a big role for him. In A Quiet Place Part 2, he plays a leader of an island. I'm just going to assume you saw the Part 2 if you're listening to this review. So he shows up as a person in New York City, and you kind of learn, you figure out, it helps you connect the pieces on how he got to where he was later on. The story: when New York City comes under attack from an alien invasion, a woman named Sam and other survivors try to find a way to safety. They soon learn that they must remain absolutely silent as the mysterious creatures are drawn to the slightest sound. Now, that description probably sounds like the same as the first one, except it's New York City, not a small town. We still have the alien invasion. We still discover about that you have to remain silent. Now, here's what's really interesting about this to me. It is an origin story, but we kind of already know the origin story, right? We, to a degree, we know from the first one, we know that they are these creatures that can hear anything, and when they hear it, they can't see, they cannot see, but if they hear something, they will come for you. Like, they have like this sonar that they can figure out like who you, where you are, and track you once they hear noise, right? And so you can hide under noise, like underwater, in water falling or other noises around you. You can hide that. They may be attracted to those noises unless they seem natural. So we know all that about them from before. Do we learn anything new about them? Maybe. There's a scene in it that the person I was with, they didn't quite understand what they were doing in the scene. It was sort of a gathering of these creatures, and they were doing something with what appeared to be an egg, but it wasn't an egg. I don't know. So I don't know. I don't know what they were doing with it. So I did not learn necessarily anything new about them. I don't find out why they're here. That's still up in the air. And that is the only reason I suspect there could be another one. Cause I think we're still going to have the question, well, why did they get here? What are they here for? And what were they doing with that egg? That's what or whatever it was. What were they doing with that object? And that makes me go, well, we learn something there. So why would you teach me something and not have a payoff at the end about it, unless there's, unless it's the start of something else? Now, let me say straight off, I love this series. I love the concept. I said when I got out of the film, I said, I'm all about day one, day two, day three, day five, day 87. Just give it to me. I love this world. I love, well, you know from here that I love apocalyptic movies, right? So that someone does an apocalypse, I'm already like, you got me halfway there. I love aliens, so an alien apocalypse, even better. Now, how do I compare these to the first two? I mean, this is probably my third favorite of them, to be honest, but I still really enjoyed this. I would like to see how other people in the world handle this. I want to see A Quiet Place Day One, Paris. I want to see A Quiet Place Day One, Disneyland. Let me see different people react to this event. And I would just be pleased with punch, and to see how people are coping around the world, around countries, you know, in the middle of it. Like, take the Quiet Place original film and have it, you know, in the middle of this tale, and set it somewhere else, just so I can see what's going on. New York is an interesting place to have this set, because New York is known as so being so loud. And it mentions in the very beginning that there's a little screen up that says New York City has a average decibel rate of 90 decibels just constantly, which is the same as a scream. And which is interesting. I don't know if that's true, because I remember a time in my life that I would see, they would say something like that, and I go, well, it's true. It's in this movie. Why would they say that if it wasn't? So I don't know if it's really 90 decibels. Love to know if you're in New York. Is that true? Because 90 decibels on your Apple Health watch, you know, if you have a tracking, constant exposure to 90 decibels or greater for more than 30 minutes can create a temporary and maybe permanent hearing loss. So that's interesting. Anyway, the story here's what's really surprising to me. The story is just as compelling to me as the others were, even though I already know what the creatures are like. In the first one, you're kind of learning. And so they already know that's what's interesting. Okay. I keep saying that. What's fascinating is in the first one, the actors we're watching already know what's going on, and we're learning how this world works, right? Now we're in a movie where they don't know what's going on, but we do, right? So you don't have that mystery of how does this work, and you're not learning those lessons through the beginning of the film on it all. We already know how this works, so we are actually a little bit ahead of the character, so you feel like you have one up on them, right? So that's kind of fascinating. And a credit to the movie for keeping me so engaged, despite me not having any big reveals for me about these aliens. It kept me thoroughly engaged the whole time. I was excited. I jumped a lot. I was scared. And what gets me is knowing I'm going to be scared. Like, I see the setup. I don't know if it's just from seeing films overall. I'm just used to the tropes. But I can see the setups, like they're about to do a jump scare. They're about to do a jump scare. Don't be scared. And then it happens, and then I'm scared. Okay. The acting in this, I think, is a highlight. A great acting in it. Lupita is just, she's such a wonderful performer, and she has this. I will say she's not a typical. She's not a typical distressed heroine, right? This happens in the first 5 minutes, so I don't think there's too much to give away, but her character has an illness, and it looks like she's facing death right from the beginning, right? So she has this challenge of drawing you into a character that maybe you want to disengage with right when you meet her, right? And but she doesn't. She makes you want to care. And one thing they don't mention in any of this stuff is how there's a cat. There's a cat, like her emotional support cat, right? Uncredited in the film, first of all. Like, I went to the IMDb credits. There's no mention of this cat. Her cat's name is Frodo, which, awesome, right? But they don't mention anywhere this cat. So I don't know the real name of the cat. Maybe its real name is Frodo. I don't know. It was a well-trained cat. I'm pretty certain it's not a CGI cat. It seemed real. If that's a CGI cat, that is the greatest CGI cat that ever existed. But I'm really sure it's a real cat. If it's not, please correct me. Let me know. Hashtag real cat. Having the cat there made me nervous the whole time, much like in the first one, having a baby there that you know is going to cry. This one I kept like, it's going to make noise, right? It's going to make, this cat doesn't know what's going on. Or does it? Cats are a pretty silent creature to begin with, so that kind of helps there, you know, creeping around, it's a little paws, so they can be silent as it is, so that kind of helps. But I'm just terrified the whole time. It's just going to meow, right? Can put you on the edge of the seat. But I just can't believe nobody mentioned the cat anywhere. I mean, I think at the end it says no animals were harmed in the creation of this film, but I think it says that no matter what. Anyway, the cat did a great job. One of the best cat actors I've seen in decades. Okay. So if you have an award show that recognizes best animal acting, this is going to be a strong consideration for the year. Also, I believe it did its own stunts, or it was a CGI stuntman. One of the two. It's a mind-boggling performance by the cat. Okay. Also in the film, kind of the co-lead, well, if you ignore the cat and cat rights, Joseph Quinn, from my fame from him, is really Stranger Things. He's been in a lot, but man, he's like in Stranger Things, he's like this long-haired metalhead, right? And he's completely different in this film. Just looks totally different. If someone hadn't mentioned it's the same actor, I would not have paid attention. I get really bad with actor names now. If I don't see them consistently, if they change their looks a lot, I do get really bad both remembering names like Joseph Quinn. It's no Lupita, right? As far as names go. So it doesn't hold into my short-term, long-term memory. He does a great job. Very, very touching performance. Good chemistry between the two. I really liked it. I love that it was a non-romantic relationship, not to ruin anything for you, but it's a non-romantic relationship, which is important. I think it's important to have more of these films that normalize people of the opposite gender / sex in a movie, and they don't have to be romantically involved. Or of the same sex and not romantically involved. I just think it's important to have two people not romantically involved in it. And we get too much of the trope of people, strangers get put in and suddenly there's romance, right? I like that this, maybe a friendship, maybe we'll say friendship. Either way, it's really nice to see people just fighting for survival and not, I was fighting for survival and then I found love. I don't want to see that. I mean, I'll see it sometimes, but not here. It was a refreshing change. So the acting, I think the writing is really fantastic. I think the director, Michael Cernowski, he directed this film called Pig, which was an indie film. And John Krasinski saw that. And he actually approached Michael about doing this prequel for him. So it's kind of, even though John's not involved as the story person, he was handpicked. And Michael was the second director. I mean, I know they had written the script and then Creative Difference and dissolved it. He stepped in. I think there was a story. I think characters, there's some credit, I think, to a past director. If you look at the IMDb credits, to a past, or rather a writer of it. So I think those might be from the other director who they were developing characters. So they still got a writing credit on it. But I think there's something fresh about having an indie director doing a high budget film like this. Like, they get to delve into it. It keeps this freshness in it. They see things different than just a blockbuster Michael Bay kind of film, right? They make sure that there is still a heart going on in the film. And the film has a lot of heart, a lot of heart, a lot of soul. And it's, here's something crazy. I mean, I guess they did this for all of them. This is a PG-13 film. I did not know all the Quiet Place movies are all PG-13. What? They scare me like an R-rated film. They're that scary. In my heart, it is an R-rated film, but it's not. It's PG-13. And people just learn to handle it. Like, they, or just, I don't know. I guess there's not that much blood. There's blood, but not that much. It's not gory. The language isn't that bad, I guess. Enough to keep PG-13. But I am scared. These are some of the scarier films to me because they're scarier than the slashers because the environment and the quietness. And I walk away from the film and I'm wondering, like, if it's quiet and I hear a noise, I'm like, shh, aliens will get us. And that's the effectiveness of the movie. The fact that I think it's a R-rated film, but it's not, means it's that scary. I love that a horror movie makes me feel that way, and that it's not rated R, and how much you can do with the unseen from the camera of what happens off screen, or how you can make it a horror but not bloody is just wonderful. I think too often we hear horror and we think it's going to be full of blood and things like or witchcraft or whatever. This builds the tension nicely, constantly. And it gives you releases, but this is an edge of the seat kind of movie. Let me tell you that. So the worst things about the film, I think the downside of this is that I don't learn anything new about the aliens. I do want to know more about them. I want to know a little bit. I want the causation and motivation of these aliens. I still want to know how they got on the planet. I'm not quite sure. Is it a meteor? Are they riding in meteors that dissolve? Are they just riding in space as themselves, or just like Superman of the outside and just go through the atmosphere? I don't know. I want to know more of that. I feel like this third time I'm wanting to learn that a little bit. And that's my disappointment walking out, is I want to learn more about the aliens. I think you just have to accept, if you saw the other ones, that they're not going to be as intriguing, the aliens themselves, to figure it out. And that can be a downfall of it, but it's just a different experience. As I mentioned before, it kind of flips the script on it. Lessons from the film. I think the lesson ultimately in this film is about learning to live. And not giving up in there. I think there's something beautiful about that in the midst of a horror. Somebody who might as well could be giving up because they feel alone and they know their life has a limit anyway. Why not just give in to the aliens in the very beginning? Right? Why, like, oh, this doesn't matter, but you want to live and cherish some small joys that are there and that were in your life. So I do think in some way this film is about teaching you to live life as far as you can and care about other people. And cats. Love the cat. Is it a rewatchable film? I'll check it out. I would give it another watch. Okay, so I would do that. I feel like I'm going to jump and be scared at the exact same place as the first time because they were done so well, right? There are a couple things I want to figure out. Like, maybe if I watch it again, I'm going to figure more out about the aliens and the eggs. I kind of want to watch the whole series now again. But I would watch it in theatrical order still. I still think that's meant to. I don't think you go back and watch this, the first one, and then watch the others. There's a joy that you're not going to experience. I'm sure some people are going to see this for the first time, but I don't think this will be the first one they see in this series. But I don't think that will be the recommended order. I think it's going to be theatrical release. That's generally, I think, how you should always do it anyway. But again, I want to talk to somebody who didn't just to see if I'm right or not. But so, yeah, in my rating system of love it, like it, or lose it, I am going to go ahead and give it a love it because I wasn't sure when I left last night. I was like, okay, this is either a high like it, a like it plus, or a love it. And I think it's a love it because I can't help but smile and think about this film so much. I'm just really, I'm hyped for it. And I'm hyped for you to get to see it. I think you should. And do you agree with me? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let me know in the comments. I would appreciate that. And be sure wherever you're listening, if you're listening to this on a podcast or you're listening to this on a video cast, please hit the subscribe button. It's very important to me. And of course, and feel free to share. But comments are great so that I don't feel like I'm just talking to myself this whole time. Anyway, that's my review. A Quiet Place, day one, playing in theaters now. Check it out. I want to thank you for coming here and listening to me. And thank you for watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play to rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference, love them. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play to rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it didn't hit. No, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas. Yeah.